Thank you. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. We are still looking at the greatest sermon ever preached by Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. And he continues in verse 19 of chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth and rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, take this moment and focus our minds on your will for our lives. And we thank you for all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. This current world that we live in is oriented around stuff. You got stuff, I got stuff, we got stuff, there is stuff all over the place. And many times we find ourselves just trying to manage the stuff. Have you seen the bumper sticker that says the one that dies with the most stuff wins? Well, that's not true. In stuff, there is not lasting happiness. Stuff will fade away. Stuff may be good for a moment, it may be good for a while, it may be good for a few days, but it's going to be gone at some point in time. What kind of stuff do you have? You may have some good stuff. You may have some national championship trophies. You know, there'll be a day when they won't do you any good. So, you know, stuff in itself is not what you need to build your life on. But I want to be quick to say there's nothing wrong with stuff. There's nothing wrong with having it. The problem comes when instead of you having it, it has you. And your focus becomes the stuff. God created it. God created all of the things that are out there, wherever they may be. God created the heavens and the earth and all that dwells therein. He knows what kinds of things you need. And there are some things we need. The Bible says, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So there's nothing wrong with possessing things. But when you let things drive your life, when you let things be your focus, when you let things be what you have to pursue in order to get through your day, then you've taken things too far. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, when we think of treasures, I don't know what you think about. I think about pirates and treasure chests and those kinds of things. But when the Bible is talking about treasures, it's talking about anything, quite honestly, anything that is of value to you. It could be many different things, but it's basically the stuff that is around us. Jesus warns us about letting stuff control our lives. Things have an impact on you. Things have a way of becoming the focal point. Stuff affects our hearts. in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. He says, lay up. Lay up. It means to stockpile or to hoard. The Bible says there are some things that are okay to lay up. So some of you people, you lay up some stuff and it's okay. Some of you people hoard some stuff and that's where it becomes not okay. How do you know the difference? Well, let God control you and how you deal towards stuff. 2 Corinthians 12:14 says there are some things you could lay up. The children do not lay up for the parents, but the parents lay up for the children. And so there's not anything wrong with a parent putting things aside, trying to allow there to be a base of economic help for your children. But it shouldn't be the other way around. In Jesus' day, wealth was divided into basically three things: garments, grain, and gold. Garments, of course, your clothing and the clothing that you possess. You were known in your wealth by your clothing. If you wore certain colors, it denoted you as being of a more wealthy class. If you wore purple, you were somebody. And that was just the way it was in Jesus' day. Now, not only garments, there was grain. If you had food stores, if you had food that would keep, that you can store in barns or store wherever, that was a measure of wealth. And then, of course, gold, riches, financial being. And if you had financial being, which in that day would have been gold, then that measured your wealth. Jesus taught, if you have these things, that it's okay. But the Jews taught that if you have these things, then you are spiritually elite. In other words, the more you have, the more God loved you, and the more you have, the more God would care for you. And so your spiritual status was governed by your possession of stuff. We have people that teach that kind of thing today. It's called prosperity gospel. Have you heard the prosperity gospel? You can't lose with the stuff I use. You know, the prosperity gospel? Prosperity gospel is it's all about the stuff, and God wants you to have stuff, and God wants you to have the good stuff, and God wants you to have all the good stuff. I heard about a prosperity preacher not too long ago. He decided that God wanted him to have the good stuff, and he needed his church to give more so that he could buy a Learjet. That was his thought. Because God wants you to have the very best, he had to have the very best Learjet. He could have gotten from place to place in a Cessna and it would have been okay. But no, he had to have the very best Learjet, and he believed God wanted him to have that. I do not believe God had anything to do with that. You know, when these people say, well, you're going to be blessed when you have a lot of stuff, and the better, more stuff you have, the more blessed you are, and all the rich people certainly are walking close to God. Did they ever consider that there is only one that we are supposed to be like? His name is Jesus. And remember, Jesus had no place to lay his head. Jesus was very poor. He was a poor carpenter. And yet, Jesus walked closer with God because he is God. Jesus says, lay not up for yourself treasures on the earth. All things we have are from the Lord, and you need to understand that. Everything you have is a blessing. Many people allow material things to draw them in, and sometimes material things draw them away. People pursue things, and if they just get those things, they're going to be happy. And so I want you to know it's okay to have a boat. It's okay to have a motorcycle. It is okay to have a vacation home. But when you let that boat or that motorcycle or that vacation home or whatever else there may be take you away from God and His worship, it's not okay. When the thing becomes that which pulls you away from the one who made the thing, you're out of step. And no matter what substance you get, no matter what stuff you get, at some point it will pass away. Get a new car. Oh, it's shiny, it's neat, it's got the new car smell. You know, take it to the store, or take it to church, or take it to any old parking lot, and somebody's going to open their door into your new car. It doesn't occur to them it's your new car, it's just their space and they're opening the door. It doesn't take long until something had a friend, an acquaintance really, with Campus Crusade for Christ. His name was Tim Timmons. Tim Timmons prayed that God would allow him to have a car. And God gave him a car. Tim really had wanted a convertible, and God gave him a convertible. And Tim wanted a red one, and God gave him a red one. And he was very deliberate about it. He knew that God gave it to him, and so he prayed. He prayed very fervently, God, this is your car. I know selfishly that I wanted it. I know I prayed for it, but I want you to know I am, even though you gave it to me, I'm giving it back to you. This is your car, and I understand it. Tim said he drove off that day feeling pretty good. He was in God's car. He was in Dallas, Texas. Now, in Dallas, Texas, when you get on the freeway, they have these hesitating lights. There's a light that tells you when you can go on the freeway, and you can't go on until the light turns red, and then you go on. So he was behind this person in one of these hesitating light things, and he saw the light change. And so he took off. The guy in front of him did not take off. And so the first thing he knew was wrong was his red hood was up staring him in the face. And he was a little bit upset. He said, God, I know this is your car. It's your car. It's okay. You're going to take care of it. And he took care of everything there. They tied the hood back down. He drove off, got off the interstate, got to a red light. He stopped. The car behind him did not. And his trunk lid was up. And he had to tie it down. He finally got to the meeting that he was going to, and everybody was excited to see his new car. They actually all came down to the parking lot to see him drive in. I said, Tim, what happened? I thought you told us you getting a new car and you gave it to God. He said, yes, this is my new car. I gave it to God. He hasn't been taking very good care of it. But it's God's. Listen, everything we have is because of God, and we just need to have an understanding of that. Things will pass away. They had clothes that they would store. If you store clothes, moths can get in. I can testify to that. In my world, different than most people's world, I still wear a tie. And for most of my life, I have had to wear a suit. And so I've had a lot of suits. I had a closet, in fact, that was pretty full of suits. Don't exactly know how many, but I had a good collection of suits. And one day we had some house plants we took and set them where they could get sun. And so everything was good. My wife keeps a very clean house. Everything was good. I went to put on one of my suit jackets and noticed that there was a little hole in the sleeve, and I didn't know what was wrong. And so I put it to the side, went to another suit coat, and lo and behold, there was a hole in the arm of it, and just a little hole, but enough to ruin the suit. And I went to another one and I had another problem. And you ever heard of Asian moths or Asian beetles? It seems that they can be in soil of plants that are, you know, that you put in your house. And so they hatched out, unbeknownst to us, and they had a feast. And I lost the bulk of my suits. and so I can tell you that clothes won't last. Now, they may go out of style, but they just won't last. You store grain. If you store grain, mice can get into grain and it won't last. You store gold. Well, gold just doesn't stick around, and thieves can break in and steal. Things will not ultimately satisfy. Even money will not ultimately satisfy because you can just never get enough. Verse 20, Jesus says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Redirect your thoughts about accumulation. Start thinking about putting things up there instead of around here. Start focusing on putting things where Jesus is. How do you build up riches in heaven? Well, when you worship the King of Kings, when you come to Sunday school and study His Word, you're storing up riches in heaven. When you lift up the name of Jesus, you're storing up riches in heaven. When you take care of others in the name of Jesus and show the love of Jesus, you're storing up riches in heaven. When you faithfully give so God's kingdom message can go forward, you're storing up riches in heaven. All of those things are putting your value up there, putting your value where they last. How many of you are here when we came into this building? Many of you were. This building was long in thought, and God gave it to us. And yeah, we talk a lot about it because it means a lot to us. But it cost a lot for us. You know, I know it was not a lot for some entities, but it was a lot for us, and it took a lot. We had people giving continuously to get to the day that we could get enough to where we could get a loan, to where we could get started on this building. And then after we moved into this building, we still owed a lot. And so we prayed, and people were very faithful, and people gave. And you know, yes, we had some substantial gifts, but most of our giving was day-by-day giving by day-by-day givers and faithful people, some that had very little personally, but they were faithful for God's kingdom. And I want you to know, everybody that gave a contribution to making this building a reality has a benefit in heaven from the souls that have been saved and the gospel that has gone forth and that will go forth from this building. You have a part in that. That's part of shoving your wealth into glory. What you lay up in heaven is all you're going to have. People die, the rich people die, they say, well, how much did he leave? Well, the answer is all of it. You don't take anything with you. The only thing that you have in heaven is what you've sent ahead by living for Jesus, by walking with Jesus. I heard about a man that had this thought that he wanted everything that he had, everything he loved, all of his stuff, he wanted it to be kept right above him when he slept. And so it was all in his attic. And he had his bedroom, and it was all nice bedroom, wealthy man, but his true treasures were right above his head when he slept. His wife bothered him about it. It was a constant thing between them, but that's where he wanted it, and so that's where it was. And she said, well, why in the world do you want to put everything up there? He says, because I figured it out. I'm going to die more likely sleeping in that bed. Now, I've got everything right above me so that as I go up, I can grab my stuff and take it with me. The day came, the man died. Sure enough, he died in that bed. Well, the lady was certainly grieving. but she just had to go up to the attic. She went to the attic and she looked, and it was all there. And she said, I told him he should have put it in the basement. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I've heard people say, if you get a person's heart right, you'll get their money right. But you know, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says you get a person's money right. You get a person's giving right, and their attention will be where their giving is. You know why some people can't understand why some of you have such a love for this place? Because they haven't put the investment here that you've put here. You know, your heart goes with that investment. And so where our treasure is, where we're vested, is where our heart will be. Stuff affects the heart. Stuff affects your mind. In verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Your aim in life is determined by whether or not you are spiritually minded. We need a mind that is biblically based. We need to be grounded on God's word, and we need to be focused through God's word on how we're going to live and how we're going to work in this world. Here's a man that's seeking wealth, and his mind is on the wealth, and so he's married, he's got children, he's got a wife, but he's seeking wealth, and he's focused on the wealth, and so he spends all of his days focused on the wealth. His children don't even know him because he doesn't spend time with them. His marriage becomes a sham because they don't spend time together. And so you have this individual that spent all of his time getting wealth and making wealth the thing, and his family falls apart around him and he doesn't understand why. Jesus tells the parable about a rich man that was very successful, and so he wanted to build bigger and better barns, more barns to put his stuff in, and so he focused on the barns, and Jesus said, you fool, you're building barns, but today your soul's going to be required of you, and you die without any benefit of any of the stuff that you were so carefully setting away. We need to understand, life is not about things. There is something better. And so stuff affects your heart, stuff affects your mind, stuff affects your will. In verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You're going to serve someone. You're going to serve something. Who are you going to serve? If you're serving stuff, then your world is going to be turned upside down. If you're going to live for things, that's your choice. But in that choice, you're going to lose all that is valuable in life. In Genesis, it talks about a man by the name of Lot. Now, Lot... you may know about Lot. Lot was serving his uncle. His uncle was named Abraham. Abraham and Lot built a great deal of wealth. Out in the desert, they piled up things, and they built workers, and they ended up with so many people that they were stumbling over themselves, and the reality came that if they were going to continue their life and if they were going to continue to prosper, they were going to have to split. And so Abraham, who was the senior, should have been able to choose anywhere that he wanted to go. But instead of choosing where he wanted to go, he yielded to Lot. Now Lot had a choice to make. Lot knew his uncle deserved the very best. But Lot didn't care about that. Lot cared about Lot. And so he looked to the land, and he saw which was the better land and which one was the most prosperous land. and he chose it for himself. Lot moved to a place called Sodom. And when he moved into Sodom, he was a prince. I mean, he had wealth beyond measure. He had a family. He had a wife. Everything was positive for him. And he was going to live the high life and just get bigger and better and be surrounded by more and more stuff. Well, Lot pursued the stuff. And you know what? He lost everything of value. He lost his wife. He lost his children. He lost his testimony. He lost his standing, not for a day, but for all eternity, because people even today think about Lot as a guy who lost everything. His choice affected his family members' choices. And so his children weren't people that would follow God, and his wife wasn't a person that would follow God. And so when the time came that they had to get out of Sodom, God had to force them to get out of Sodom to leave the stuff. And so they left it behind, and you'll remember as they were crossing out, the order was that they could not look back at all. But because his wife had been in a home that was all about stuff, she looked back. And she had a very salty ending. Her life was destroyed. How much different it would have been had Lot said, "Abraham, you can handle the people in Sodom. I can't. You can handle greater wealth. I can't. Abraham, you go this way. I'll be okay over here with my family, and we'll just serve the Lord." But that's not what he did. He chose to go the way of stuff. So my friend, how have you chosen to live? How is your life structured? Is it all about the stuff? Is it all about getting more, having more, obtaining more, keeping more? I'm not saying you can't have anything. I truly am not. I'm just saying it can't be your focus. There is a God, and he is to be our focus. There is a God that loves us so much that he knows that we have needs of things, and he gives us things, and he blesses us with things. And most of us are blessed with more things than we could ever dream. But you know, one day, if you live long enough, you're going to have to give the things up. But what is truly important, you never have to give up. That's why we need to focus on Jesus. And if you've never met Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then that's exactly what you need to do, and you need to do it today. You need to invite Jesus to come into your heart, to save your soul, to forgive your sins. He is willing to do that. He will do that today. If you're a believer, you have given Jesus your heart, your soul, you've turned from your sin and you've turned to the Lord Jesus, and you've got Jesus in your life. What a great thing that is, that you have Jesus in your life. But are you serving him? Or have you chosen to serve something or someone else? The only way we reach a lost world is if we together commit to serve him. The only way we pull a world from the pursuit of stuff is together going after the world. That means we need to make commitments as believers that we're going to make life about more than stuff. We're going to make life about Jesus and his guidance. And we're going to understand that there are children out there that don't have any spiritual witness in their life, and we're going to try to get it to them. You need to be trying to drive kids, physically drive kids, with permission, of course. Get them to Awana's. Get them to where they're going to get the Bible taught to them. Get them to where they're going to have a great time, but the scripture's going to be there. Every teenager you know needs to be a part of our wave movement. And they learn about Jesus there. And not just there, you know, we need to pull those that are in the wave and pull those in Awana to be here for Sunday school and to be here for worship. And we need to pull their parents in that way. And we need to be part of doing that. And we need to be doing that not every now and then. It needs to be a day-by-day part of our lives. Because you know people I don't know. You are places that I am not. And if you got somebody you want me to go see, I'll go see them. But, you know, you're more effective where you are. The old saying is people think preachers are paid to be good. You're all good for nothing. In truth, as God's child, you're good for everything. And we need to commit ourselves to Him. We need to follow Him. We need to seek the world to come to Him. And we need to give stuff its proper place. It is a good tool. It is a terrible master. Would you come to Jesus today? Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask that You would move in our hearts, that You would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, there are some listening that have never met Jesus as their Savior, but Father, today is the day. Today is the time that they need to come to Jesus. I pray that You would give them guidance and direction, and today would be the day that they would come, that they would be willing to turn from sin, to turn from Jesus, and ask Jesus to save their souls. Let them just walk down an aisle here and say, I want Jesus. I pray for believers. Father, in this room, I am thankful for every believer that is here. Father, challenge us with our need to make our focus Your focus, that we might draw souls to You, Father, that we might see people coming to Jesus day by day as a result of being faithful, as a result of putting You first and not stuff. And I thank You for what You will do. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. As we sing, would You come?